Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's home who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And when he took the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Then we're going to go into Mark chapter 16. And there's some verses there we want to read from verse 15 through 18. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues.'" Verse 18 together. "And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Come on, shout to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a promise. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come in great faith today, believing you for your word. Your word is active and powerful as a two-edged sword. And Lord, today we just continue to declare these things, of more things we're learning about Jesus. And I pray today through the power of your word, through the things that are going to be imparted to us, that great things will happen. Your power will be released, that people who've been under oppression, people who've been under the levity of sickness and all these things, those things will be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the greatness of this day. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, most of you know that tomorrow is we honor it as President's Day, as far as that's concerned. And in line with that, this little short story has some meaning to it. February 1804 was one of those times when Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the founding fathers of this country, I think he was our third president. And actually, he was a person who penned the Declaration of Independence. That being the case, one thing you probably didn't know about Thomas Jefferson, there is a Bible according to Thomas Jefferson. It's called the Thomas Jefferson Edition. However, in that Bible, there's some things that are missing. Thomas Jefferson included all the teachings of Jesus except the miracles. He took a razor and he cut them all out of his Bible. He just decided that those things weren't necessary. He deleted the virgin birth, the resurrection, and every supernatural verse there was in the Bible. Jefferson's version of the Bible ends with a stone being rolled in front of the tomb. According to Jefferson, he died on the cross, but he never rose from the tomb. How about that? Before we get critical of him, we'll have to admit he's a lot like us. Because we pick and choose certain verses and ignore the verses that are too supernatural for us to comprehend. Oh, it's going to get rough today. You picked the wrong day, because I got something to tell you. Before I go too far, let's go to the word for today, and we'll kind of work with this for a while, but I got your attention. I know I do. History is one of those things that will mess with you, because when you say, I never knew that. A person so intelligent, they could write this thing, the Declaration of Independence, that was the founding thing of the nation. As a matter of fact, under his watch, he was one of those individuals that he, during, and it was 1807, they stopped the abolished slavery of people being imported into this country, and then later on with Lincoln did the Emancipation Proclamation type thing. But those are all historical things. Here's my questions for you today. Number one, are you ready to go public with your confession of belief in Jesus' power to work miracles? You say, well, I'm not sure. Let me bring you to number two. As a believer, are you ready to release the power of the Holy Spirit through your life to bring healing to others? I'm up the ante a little bit further. It's one thing to tell it. It's another thing to allow it to be enacted through you. Because according to Mark, he says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. He didn't say it would follow pastor, didn't say it would follow evangelist. He follows those who believe. How many believe? Then that means that miracles are in reach of you reaching out to other folks. Number three, will you allow the power of miracles in your life to bring faith to those who have yet to believe in Jesus? Some people you know of are just a miracle away from totally giving their life over to the Lord because of what you're going to release through the power of Jesus. That's pretty amazing, but not out of our reach. Well, the power of death has no power against the authority of Jesus' authority to bring healing. Mark chapter 5, verse 35, read that verse again. And while he's still speaking, some of them came from the ruler's synagogue's house, and he says, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? I want to talk to you about things that you believe are dead that God can bring back to life. I want to talk to you about God's perspective on death is totally different than yours. And so that being the case, we must focus on Jesus' action and the word when we are confronted with situation that causes to doubt. That means when Jesus consented to go with Jairus, it was in response to his request. There's things that you've asked Jesus to do, and it's in response to your request that he's on a journey with you today. What does that mean? It means that since the day that you've made a decision to follow after the Lord, Jesus has never left you. It may appear like he has, but he really hasn't. Now, Jairus asked Jesus to come to heal his daughter. He did not ask Jesus to come to his daughter's funeral. Let that marinate for a moment. He says, I need you to come heal my daughter. And Jesus consented to go with him. Not to witness chaos and commotion, which we'll talk about in a moment, but he came to do what he was asked to do. What have you been asking Jesus to do for you? Well, you know, some of those things probably aren't going to happen. I'm too old. It's been too long. That opportunity's gone past by the wayside, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Jesus is never one who will give us false signals of his intent and motives. But he attends to the requests of people. We're going to talk about Lazarus in a few moments, but I want to let you know when Jesus sets his destination of where he's going, things are going to be different when he arrives. Well, we must not be discouraged by what appears to be facts around a situation that Jesus said he would attend to. And I think all of us are living in the reality of things that we believe either are dead or past their expiration date or whether it happens to be. But let me just unfold this a little bit further. It's easy for us to become fearful of facts and situations in life that appear to be final. Death seems pretty final. Wouldn't you say? Now, I've seen crazy things happen with, you know, I'm only getting to some of the things I've seen happen. But death's pretty final. And I don't want to take away from the emotions nor to make light of some people's heartache and brain and suffering that you've gone through when you've lost someone. Would you consider this? Death to a vision that we thought has possibilities can cause us to lose hope. And some of you are sitting in this room right now. You have lost hope. You're done. could be hope for healing. It could be hope for restoring a relationship. He said, there is no way, no how, cannot happen. We're going to invite Jesus into that situation. Anybody up for that? Because somebody said, it won't hurt. I got nothing to lose. Might as well. But I want to tell you, your might as well won't get it done. You have to have faith to believe that when he comes, it's going to make a difference. See, all you want to say, well, he ain't going to hurt nothing. He can't miss nothing you never had. I think, what? Aren't you full of faith and power? I don't want you on my team, quite frankly. Because if there ain't no believers in the house, we might as well shut this place up and go home. We must realize that when we call upon Jesus, we are acting in faith according to his word. Well, we must not allow fear to displace faith, which means this. Faith finds its substance in the evidence of God's word. One of the scriptures that came to mind right then, it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Just came right in my mind. You're thinking, is that true? How many in here have ever been healed? Raise your hand. You see, everybody's hands ought to be raised. I'll tell you why. Because God healed you from stuff you didn't know you had. Do you want to get cancer so God can heal you from it, or he healed you and kept you from getting it? Oh, come on now. Somebody's going to get, oh, that's right. Everybody got the flu but you. You ought to be thanking God right now. Both laid out on their back and doing, you know, drinking orange juice like it's, you know, like whatever. And the flu passed by you somewhere. God healed you from not getting sick. That ought to be a shout person point right there. But we are so ungrateful. We just take things for granted. Well, only believe is an invitation to exchange your fear for faith. The word only believe, they don't seem like they belong together. It's like, only believe, just come on. Add a little belief to it and everything will be fine. Only. Take that word. Single out. Focus on your belief in Jesus. Something good is about to happen. Well, here's the deal. Only believe is an invitation and a command to remove us, to remove all other things from your mind and to focus on Jesus. I'm going to have you do something. Just for 10 seconds. I want you to focus on a picture of Jesus. 10 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, we're done. Somebody shout out. What picture, how did you see Jesus? Somebody tell me. But here, get this. 95% of you see Jesus on the cross. At least 95%. But you know what? That was 2,000 years ago. You need to see Jesus where he is right now. See, I want to bring you into the right now Jesus, not the Jesus that's on the cross. I'm not taking anything away from the cross, but some of you need to move on to where Jesus is right now for what he's able to do in your life right now. You need to take him off the cross and put him where he belongs in your life right now. Oh, I feel something right now, because here's the thing, and I did the same thing. I was sitting in my office. I got this illustration this morning, sitting in my office, probably about 6:30 this morning. The Lord says, he says, yeah, now, how do you see me right now? And I'm thinking, high and lifted up. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not where he is right now. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, giving you an alliance, the ability to do things that are far beyond your imagination. We're going to kind of change our perspective, folks. It doesn't take anything away from the cross. but it empowers you now to have the ability to speak to death and say, oh no, death is not going to rule this any longer. Well, I want to bring him a little closer to you. He's right now with you. He's implanted the Holy Spirit in you that's able to identify anything that's coming against you that you can say in the name of Jesus, you got to go. I want to personalize Jesus in such a way that he's not so distant, far up in the clouds. Hi, Jesus. No, honey, he's right here. We must confront those around us who have unbelief and dismiss them from our presence. I'm going to say it again. We must. Because I want to tell you, miracles will not happen until you get the doubters out of the way. Now, let me tell you some simple things. Our faith is often overruled by the company we keep. I want to talk about your homies. When I'm through with some of you will be closing your Facebook account. Because you got too much stuff going on that you're believing all this drama that's going on in folks' life, and God isn't able to do anything because you're into the drama. You need to dismiss the drama and get some faith to let God do some things in your life. You need to take yourself out of looking at people's stuff and start being a part of the actual people that are on the scene, a part of those in the chorus of the actors that God is using to change the world. And God selected some, and Jesus selected some people to go with him. Everybody can't go with you. Did you hear what I said? Everybody can't go with you. And they shouldn't go with you. Now, that doesn't mean you become biased and prejudiced as far as that's concerned. But he says, you know, he says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. You don't need a whole crowd. You need some believers to go with you. And I think when we strengthen ourselves in that particular thing, there'll be more believers that'll be added to them. And great things will happen. Well, it is more than negative energy when we allow ourselves to be in the company of those who do not support or share our convictions about Jesus. Ooh, I know that hurt somebody. They've been my friends since grade school. We went through a lot of trauma together, and you're still in it. She's my support system. No, she isn't. No, he isn't. She's just your alibi. Your reason for being pitiful. You feel good around them because they're never going to get any better than they are right now. Some of you will have people around you that you don't keep you from changing. You know, I found out most people who are thin have heavy homies because they always want to feel good. You say, no, which side am I on? That's what people do. Do you realize sometimes you are being used by folks? They think you're more pitiful than you really are. Work it out, okay? We must be bold and direct with our confrontation of things that would breed doubt regarding God's word and promises. The idea of being political, I have no alliance with Donald Trump whatsoever. None. I don't. Well, sorry. That wasn't my point. You're welcome. Because, it's not so much about him, it's just about the style. And assaulting people and dropping all kind of bombs and being, you know, all kind of that, all the crazy stuff. But the thing that is aggravating to me is the focus is on the wrong person. I can fix and make America great. No, you can't. No, you can't. And neither can you. Only Jesus is able to do those things. Oh, we must be bold and direct with those things, the confrontation, the things that breed doubt about God's word. Well, Jesus was not intimidated by those trying to ridicule him, because look at this next verse. He says, he came to the house and he saw the tumult and those who were weeping and wailing loudly. And when he came in, he said, why all this commotion? Girls only sleep. Oh, that caused a firestorm. Can you imagine that on the news?
Preacher walks into situation, girl is dead, and he says she's only sleeping.
They will lock you up. Plan to go to jail. I'm serious. But we have to take an assessment that Jesus does. Believers should never allow the opinions of those who have not experienced Jesus to keep them from experiencing miracles. Because he said, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to believe in Jesus. I shouldn't believe in Jesus. I should believe in statistics. And that's what we do. And we've been trained to do those things. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. But I believe God is changing my heart and my perspective on a lot of things. And so an argument against an experience is ludicrous. We must stand firm on our convictions. 1 Timothy 1:12. Here we go. And I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Every single one of you are in the ministry. None of you are excluded. You say, well, why would he choose you? Why would he choose me? Because he's given us Jesus and the Holy Spirit to get those things done. Well, we must be prepared to confront the fear of death and go into Mark chapter 5, verse 41. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. We must be willing to confront the things that are seemingly held hostage to death, and that means believing Jesus has all power means that nothing until we surrender the things to him that we feel that have rendered us powerless. Now, here's some more questions for you, and you can just answer them without raising your hand. But when you come into a situation where you feel powerless, when is that? Most of the time, for most of us, we feel powerless when we see things happening in other people's lives that we wish were happening in ours. Why them and not me? Why her and not me? This simply means this, that Jesus spoke of life to one who had declared as being asleep. Now, I've been trying to do some study on my own as far as things are concerned, and it has really confronted a lot of paradigms that need to shift in the way that I even approach the idea of just praying for folks. I try to do the best I can. So I just got to have faith. I got to believe that God's able to do it. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will have an ambush. He says, what are you doing? You trying to make it easier on me? Why don't you just speak the word that I told you to speak? Brother Ken, remember you came to my office the other day? And he's facing cancer and this type of thing, blah, 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 and this type of thing. And the devil had you locked up in fear, didn't he? Of what's going to happen, this type of thing. And what did I tell you? I said, you're going to go there? They're going to cut in, and they ain't going to find nothing wrong with you. Is that what happened? Raise your hand if that's a yes. That's exactly what happened. That's risky business. You know why that's risky business? Because what if they had found something? That makes me a liar. Come on now, folks. And we don't like to take risks. And I'm not saying we're going around and say, oh, you're this, you're that. No. But I'm saying when God speaks, we have to say what God is saying and not what our fears are saying. When God shows up, We got to be able to declare the word of the Lord. It's not my word, it's his word. And when God speaks something over your life, it's going to happen. But the devil's got us locked up in fear. In the what if.
Well, there's more to be done with this, and here we go. Our faith can bring miraculous things into being when we believe Jesus' word over the situation we're facing. Well, let's go into, Jesus is consistent when he confronts death and sleep. John 11, 11. This is probably the most infamous scripture there is in the Bible when it relates to Jesus, and I want to unpack a little bit of this before we leave today. These things he said after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Really? For those of you who don't know the story, let me just kind of just compactly talk to you about what's going on. Jesus gets a word that Lazarus is ill. His two sisters sent for Jesus, and Jesus hears about it. But you know the shocking thing about the story? He doesn't do nothing. Matter of fact, he hangs out for a few more days right where he is. I want to talk to you about the times when you tell Jesus about something and nothing happens. I know none of you have ever suffered from that. I'm just talking to friends, people you know. Now, you told Jesus the problem. His interpretation of the problem is different than yours. They probably told him one time, then probably it was one of those companies that said, Jesus, you remember we're supposed to be going to see about Lazarus? He said, don't worry about it. He's sleeping, and I'm going to go wake him up in a day or two. Wow. Stay with me. So the story goes a little bit further. And this is where it really becomes emotional. It really becomes to a place where you can't just sidestep the issue. But now we're coming to crunch time. And Jesus arrives on the scene. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read out of my Bible here. And so he gets to the house, and Martha's there. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I want to talk to every one of us, including myself, of the indictments that we have put against Jesus. If you had showed up, God, I would never have been facing this situation. If you had changed our financial situation, I wouldn't have had to file bankruptcy. If you'd done da-da-da-da-da-da, fill in the blank. That's tough. The struggles that we have can be solved by verse 22. She says this, but I want you to repeat after me these words. But even now. I want you to say it again. But even now. Because before that she says, you know, if you'd been here, the indictment is my brother wouldn't have died. But here's what we need to do. We need to add something to that. Yet, but even now. Even though he's dead, you can do something about it. And some of you, as you say that, you say, you know, I wish I could apply that to this situation that's really been bothering me for so long. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I'm going to adjust your belief quotient here in just a moment to understand this. John chapter 11 says, verses 33 and 34. Here we go. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Here's a question. Are you willing to take Jesus to the place that you promised yourself that you'd never go to again? Are you willing to take Jesus to the place of this can be identified as the most suffering place you've ever experienced in your entire life? Or have you told yourself, I'm never going there ever, ever, ever again? Wow. Jesus identifies with our struggles as human beings. He understands our disappointment and discouragement. But we must be willing to go with Jesus to confront the things that we believe to be dead. Because remember, Jesus said, it's only sleep. Well, sorry about that. This has got to do a little interesting. We'll fix that. Well, there are stones and obstacles that will hinder us from believing that must be removed. Now, those of you who know the particular custom of the people in those days, they would put a stone in front of a tomb. That's where we bury folks. But I want to remove some of the stones that may be in your way today that we can deal with. But here's the interesting part about it. Those of you who read ahead in the story will find out that Jesus says, take me to where he is. But before I can even allow you to go to that particular place, there's one scripture in the Bible that every one of us uses as a memory verse when we were in primary school and Sunday school. Jesus wept. Come on, confess. How many of you use that as your memory verse? Sure you did. Because you could remember. It was easy. I did a little research on that particular verse and went into the Greek and this type of thing. And here's the deal. I had my idea of why Jesus wept and why he would even go through that particular emotional place in his life. And you know what I discovered? I was wrong. I thought that Jesus was weeping over the fact that, you know, they don't believe in me and this type of thing. And he's wept over the fact that these people are just, it had nothing to do with it. In the same way that Jesus allowed his emotions to take over when he's at the night before he's going to die, where he is literally sweating, as it were, drops of blood, when he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, that your will be done. That same type of emotion took over Jesus when the Bible, what I find out from the Greek literalist, has said this, and Jesus literally burst into tears over Lazarus because Lazarus was his friend. Now, regardless of the fact whether he could raise him from the dead, it had nothing to do with it. Do you realize that Jesus identifies with the human emotion that you experience? You don't have to be saying, it will be okay, Jesus will take care of it. Just believe God and everything will turn out just fine. I know that God is able. He's able to do exceedingly above what I could ask, think, or even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Really? Get lost, buddy. You're going to cry some real tears. Now, let me kind of let you into my world over things that affect me emotionally. This will shock some of you. Are you ready? Okay. I don't watch too much TV. But one of my favorite shows is Undercover Boss. I'll tell you why. Not because of the different places they go to, but when bosses get generous with people who have worked really hard and have suffered in life, and all of a sudden they'll give them 25 grand or 100 grand to buy them a house or buy them a car or take care of a sickness they've gone through, I'm sorry, but my emotions get the best of me. Really? Now, you can put on those stupid chick flicks, and it don't bother me at all. Game real. Ain't even real. But when I find something that is real and bona fide, where it touches somebody's life, I'm sorry, but I'm going to cry some real tears. Do you know why? Because there's something about it. When you touch that place in somebody's heart, that you love them, that you care for them, and you don't have to do it, I can identify with that. And I can identify with Jesus, even though in a few minutes or maybe less than 15 minutes or so, he's going to go to the tomb and raise Lazarus from the dead. For that particular moment, he had to allow Mary and Martha to know, you know what? I didn't delay just to make it disappointing for you. I haven't forgotten about you. I loved your brother just as much as you love him. I want to say to you people who have lost children, who have lost parents, sooner than you thought you would, that Jesus identifies with your pain. Because if he doesn't, I don't think you can identify with a God like that. Well, let me run through this quickly. So it happens, and we must be willing to go with Jesus to confront those things that we believe to be dead. But here's one of the things that, now, it even looks kind of funny to me. Well, Jesus is going to go raise him from the dead. Watch this. And Martha, the sister of him, says, who was dead, she said, Lord, by this time, there is a stench for he's been there for 4 days. Really? So the stink's going to keep you away from a miracle. I don't think you want to go there, Jesus. It's awfully stinky. Ministry is stinky. Oh, I'm going there. You're going to run into some things you wish you had never seen or heard before. But I'll tell you what, if you want a miracle, you will have to face the stink. Somebody say amen. What does that mean? It means that there's sometimes, it doesn't seem so convenient because we already have a preconceived idea of what it's going to look like. Are you willing to even face the stinky things in life to get what you really want to have happen? No, honey, leave him in the grave. Leave him in the grave. If it means after there's some stink, leave him in the grave. I'll see him in heaven. It's all good. You are stupid, stupid, stupid to do that. Once we receive a miracle of restoration, we must be willing to release a person. Jesus says, release them, let them go. I don't want to preach that portion because I need to wind things up pretty quickly, but here's the deal. Lazarus comes forth according to what Jesus is told needs to happen. And this is a powerful thing. But we go to John 12:1. This is amazing. John 12:1. And 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had risen from the dead. Whom had been dead, who he had risen from the dead. Lazarus had a whole different reputation. He became Lazarus, the one who's been risen from the dead. God wants to change your reputation from you are a nobody into someone that will be a testimony for his grace working in your life. You're going to be the person that used to be a drunk that's no longer a drunk. You are the person that used to be hopeless is no longer hopeless. You are the person that used to be broke that's now able to sow into other people's lives. God wants to change your reputation when he touches your life. Ah! Are you ready to let him do that? Because it's an amazing thing when this happens. But here's the deal. So Bethany took on a whole different identity. His effect of what happened in his life changed the whole town. Bethany became the place of Lazarus who was raised from the dead. God wants to use you to change the identity of your neighborhood. God wants to use New Song to change the identity of the whole Portland area. Oh, God could never do that. Uh-huh, with you around, he probably won't. But when we become a church that believes in prayer, that believes in faith, that believes in healing, that believes in deliverance, do you know something? It will change the identity of Portland, Oregon. Oh, can he do it with us? If you allow him to. It's not that we become someone. It means that Jesus becomes everything. What would happen if we just put our faith together and says, you know what? There's nothing impossible with God. And all of a sudden, people start coming in and saying, you know, people are getting healed, people are getting saved, people are getting delivered, not to build our church, but to build his church. Come on, folks, that's what God wants to do. which is just so amazing to me. This last little piece is pretty insightful. So, there was a plot to destroy the one who had been raised from the dead. John 12, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to end there. A great many of the Jews knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake, but they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. That scripture right there is kind of a whole, I don't even know how to unpack it for you at this point. But many people that were there, they came not for Jesus' sake, but they might also see Lazarus. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that some people will come only for miracles. I know that. You know, I've lived through several revivals, and I've seen people just flock to churches and things of this nature. Because miracles are flowing. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. So there's two sides to this whole equation. There are people that are coming to see Lazarus because there's people in our city that want to see a genuine, bona fide representation of the power of God. Do you believe that? And you and me are going to be the representation of who Jesus is in these last days, that they might see Jesus and they may come to him, that they may glorify him and show forth, you know, their allegiance to him. But isn't it interesting? In human nature, this is how we work. There'll be some people that will just come to see miracles. We have to have ourselves in the place where they're coming to see Jesus. Then there's a whole group of folks that want to shut it down. The Pharisees, we got to get a hold of Lazarus. We got to shut him down because if they start believing in the Lazarus raised from the dead, we're in trouble. There are people right now that you know of. There are people that are in this place today that want to believe in Jesus. The Jesus that raises Lazarus from the dead, the Jesus that brings people who were declared to be ill, that died, he says they're asleep. Every head bowed, every head bowed, every head bowed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.